Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Again, Paul's just establishing right now, and this, we're going to take our time going through these portions because it's important to get this baseline established, that thing that shows us, okay, where we're at. He's going back, no matter what problems are going on out here, he's going back to the basic, original, hey, remember? Remember when you were worshiping those funky idols and doing all that weird stuff? This is these people. Remember when you're getting all weird out there partying and carrying on? Remember when you're doing all that kind of stuff? This is what he's saying. You remember when you're doing that? And remember when you got saved? Remember what a radical thing happened? Remember when God's grace just showered out upon your life? And it was because of the work of the cross, what Jesus did for you. There was a price that was paid. In verse 5, that you were enriched in everything by him. In all utterance and all knowledge, said, man, God poured out his spirit on you. God not only made himself known to you, but God just showered you with his presence. And the gifts were evidenced, and God was just moving in this wonderful dynamic of his spirit. Again, not only is he creating a baseline, but I think Paul also is finding common ground. Paul's that same guy too. The same thing happened to him. The same thing happened to me that happened to you as you give your life to Jesus Christ. There's this common ground that we have. And therein lies, in the common ground, what happens in the common ground is he's establishing again, reminding them of the baseline. Where did this all start at? The point of beginning. What was it all about? That's more the baseline part of what was it all about. And what's the commonality that we share? And he's kind of establishing that, which then leads to, track with me on this because this gets important. It leads to the ability to have a platform, a place to speak something into someone's heart. You know, I think that's so important. We don't spend a lot of time developing the platform. Remember how we talked about how brash we can be sometimes and just boom, blurted out, and that's, you know, and we're not taking the time to build that platform to speak something into someone's life. Not only do I think it's important to build that platform, but the maintenance of that. Paul is doing a maintenance thing right here as he's sharing with them. He's maintaining or helping to remind them of the platform that he had. Because as we go on into these next couple of chapters, we find out that Paul says, you know, I didn't share anything with you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so he goes back to those basics of what it was. But he said, man, there's got to be this platform to be able to speak these things into their life. So I think this concept that he's developing here as finding reestablishing the baseline, where did they come from, finding that common ground that they all share, Paul's in the same boat as everybody else, and then he's also building a platform at the same time to launch off on to be able to say what needs to be said. Because so much of the time, don't you find, does it seem like I'm talking real fast? I feel like it. I get kind of excited about all this stuff. I love interpersonal relationship. It's a lost art. It is. It's really a lost art. Other cultures are so much further along, even though they might be more third world, okay? They're so much further along in their interpersonal interaction. Our hyperspeed communication ability has lost some of the interaction that is so important. These letters are going to be sent. There's no email. There's no texting. There's no phone line. This is going to take a while. And you know that this is, A, first of all, saturated in prayer as he starts to communicate this. And it's felt with deep heart concern. And then it's prayed all the way through. From the time it's, you know, he doesn't know exactly when they're going to receive it. But he's praying, oh God, man, may this land in their hearts the way I intend it to. Know that that's Paul's heart as he's communicating. Oh, may they know I'm with them. See, this is what he's saying. I'm with you. Remember when you first got saved, and remember the grace of God that was just showered on. Remember when the Lord just poured out his spirit, and man, you know, and he's creating this level ground and just stirring up good things within them. And isn't that what we want to do with one another? Because we're wanting to edify, build one another up. And yet Paul at the same time is doing something here that's a purification, isn't it? There's a correction that's coming. So there's a purification process in it. Paul's heart is for them. But that platform is so important when you're needing to share something. You know, I've very much valued the opportunity to have a platform in the young men that God has trusted to me as my sons. Throughout their lifetime, I've valued that opportunity to have a platform to speak things into their lives. I know that to a lot of parents, they'd say, you've trusted when you shouldn't have trusted. I know. But it calls them to a higher ground. It calls them to come up to a higher ground. It causes them to be reminded. My dad did the same thing with me. My heavenly Father does the same thing with me. Paul the Apostle is doing the same thing here. Remembering back to the core things that really matter. That's what we should do with one another. Bring it back to that place that really matters and develop that platform. He says, man, you were enriched in everything by him, capital H, by God, by the person of Jesus Christ. Because of that relationship, you've been enriched. In other words, you've been blessed beyond belief in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. He says, you know, he's hung around all these different groups, and he says, man, you know what? You guys are shy of nothing. God has been faithful with you to do a radical work in your life and through your life. What an exciting thing to see as he's just stirring that up. The testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. It was made evident by this outpouring of God's presence. That changed life, that testimony of Christ was there. You came short in no gift, and you were eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, for that time when he would return, that anticipation of his imminent return. And you say, well, gosh, that's crazy. They were waiting for that 2,000 years ago. You know, it seems to be something throughout the history of the church that God has his people waiting. You know, it does some good things for us, though, doesn't it? That's a purifying factor in itself, knowing that Jesus could step in at any moment. That's a purifying factor. Keeps me thinking right. Keeps me also sharp and on the right edge of things, knowing that, man, what is it that really matters? And I believe these relationships that Paul is working on right now really matter. Conflict resolution. It is so important. We're going to be talking about it. I know it's going to go on. I know. But you know what? It is an issue in our world today. Divorce rate, as we mentioned, is the same inside the evangelical Christianity, inside the Bible-believing people, inside the church, the body of Christ. It's sad, isn't it? It's an indictment against us as a people, as believers, because it's the statistics are the same, both inside the church, those who profess Christianity, and just the worldly, just people that don't have anything to do with Christianity. And that's a bummer, but it's a statement of fact. It's where we live. It's what's going on. But wouldn't it be better to, even as we're learning here, to find that common ground, bring it into the light, walk in the light, and then develop the right means by which to develop resolution in conflict. He says, man, you're waiting for the Lord to return, who will also confirm you to the end. You know, that which God started in your life, God's going to finish it. Isn't that great to know? That God is faithful. We sing about it. We worship that way. But God is faithful. That thing that God started in your life when you were 5 years old, if that was when you got saved, or 55 years old, it doesn't matter. Or you know what? Let's say you gave your life to the Lord as a young person, and now as you've gotten older, you've found your way kind of somehow back to this relationship with God. and you realize, but you know what? Isn't it great to know that you can pick right up and keep walking with the Lord? That's exciting that God's right there, that he loves you, that he's got this purpose and this plan, and he will carry it through to its conclusion. God is faithful. And this is the aspect of his faithfulness, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That ultimately, when you stand before the Lord, you and I are blameless. Isn't that great? Man, I just think of the things that go on sometimes in life. Again, think about conflict and then to think about blameless. Man, that's exciting. Conflict usually involves there's some fault involved somewhere. Somewhere down the line, there's fault involved. And to find that there's blameless, that we can be blameless before the Lord. Oh, what a great thing. And we're blameless because of his faithfulness. Read on in verse 9 with me. God is faithful. After he says, you're going to be found blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's based on God's faithfulness. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And again, notice how he says, our Lord. Not just your God, not just my God, but it's inclusive. He's including them in a mutual journey, in a mutual relationship with the Lord. That fellowship. You know, fellowship, that koinonia that he says uses here as the term, is something unique only to Christianity. Koinonia, you know, there's people I know that you can use the term fellowship, okay? And they can fellowship, you know, we can fellowship because we all like KU or Mizzou or whatever team you really like. Get everybody's looks on. I like to see everybody's faces on these things, depending upon what team you're rooting for. But the idea is we can have fellowship because we like these teams. We can enjoy that camaraderie of this type of thing. But when we drive off, it's done. There's a winner and there's a loser, isn't there? Anyway, the idea of this concept is that we have this fellowship, this koinonia, this thing that transcends way past any of that stuff. And it goes into this personal relationship, this fellowship of his Son. That's, you know, when we partake of communion together, that's what we're celebrating. The fact that we have fellowship together in him. Doesn't matter what our background is. Doesn't matter what's gone on in our lives. Doesn't matter anything. It's just based on that personal relationship that you have and that I have individually. And then collectively, we have fellowship because of that relationship. What a beautiful thing. And it's all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is the baseline, right? This is that common ground, and it helps to develop a platform because right now we're about to jump off the platform and into getting the communication, the beginning of some of the communications that he needs to get out. He says in verse 10, this is one of the first kind of like indictments or issues that he's having, that there's conflict over, and he wants to begin developing some kind of resolve. But again, wasn't it great? He started at a point of beginning. He shared with us a person who once was a difficult, abrasive, an issue person. And he said, man, that person got saved. And he's using that person in this. And he uses who Jesus is, the fact that they're all united together. And he gets into this, creating some really good common ground, develops a baseline for their faith and their belief that we're all trusting the Lord. He's developed a platform to launch from, to say what needs to be said, because his heart is right. He desires what's good for them. And he says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions. In other words, that there be speaking the same thing is that there's a commonality of their unity, of their testimony, of who they're representing as Christians, and that there be no divisions, or you'll notice in your margin notes, schisms or dissensions. Those are good words, schisms or dissensions, divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. That you see things, that you have a similar perspective. So this judgment isn't judgment, it's a condemnation, but that you're having a perspective that is similar. I find this to be something that is, again, he's setting the stage for what he's just about to tell them because he's aware of some issues, but this is so important. One, he says that he's pleading with them. This is a term that, man, his heart's desire is for them. It's really important to him that they hear his heart on this. He's pleading with them. It's not just, hey, I hope you guys can listen to what I'm saying. I mean, he's just, man, I really need you to hear this. This is really important. And he uses this in a very strong way. He says, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, man, he brings Jesus right into the mix of this. Hey, let's talk the same talk. Let's have the same walk. Let's represent the Lord together. Now, how can that happen unless there's humility? It does not happen without humility. It is so, so important. Because if we take a position that is aggressive in a way that ostracizes others, or because I find in a lot of the conflict, there's this thing, polarization that sets in. It's kind of like the magnet. You know, when you take a magnet, you try and put, they resist one another. And isn't that kind of what we notice that happens sometimes when there's this conflict, that the magnet, it just resists one another. They don't connect. So we got to watch and see that the Lord would find those ways to get that connection the way he would want it to be. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. So again, it's not judgment to condemnation. It's judgment as far as perspective and how you're seeing things, that you'd have that same vantage point through humility. Let me bring this up to you in a certain way that I think maybe connects on this kind of thought. Because this is what we see happening, and this happens all over the place all the time. You get this idea where, especially in a workplace environment, and in a workplace environment, oftentimes, you know, whether it be a water cooler situation, whether it be standing by a lumber pile, whether it be out, you know, testing some equipment somewhere, whatever it might be, sometimes there's this opportunity, well, in a drive to go somewhere, sometimes there's these different opportunities that you have to talk with a coworker. And oftentimes, they will be the ones even to bring it up. They'll bring it up and say, you know, hey, I saw you, blah, 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 or I heard about this, and or they've got a question. Now, one of the things that's difficult is when there's another believer with you. There's this other believer with you that doesn't see things quite exactly the same way you see things. And then all of a sudden, this person brings up something that doesn't go to church. Not that going to church saves anybody, because we know none of us believe that. I hope. I don't. But the idea is that they're unchurched, or they're not regenerate. They're not followers of Jesus Christ. They're not a born-again believer at all. Now, they're riding around the car, and they bring up a question. They ask something to someone. They ask them, and they say, well, you know, they want to know something about that has to do with the Lord. And this person starts to say something. The other person says something. And then all of a sudden, the person that had the question gets shut out of the conversation. And the two Christians start going at it because they don't see eye to eye. That is the lamest thing that can ever happen, you guys. And we all shake our heads and say, yeah, that's just ridiculous. But I'm telling you, every one of us has been a part of it. That's the bummer, is every one of us. And you know what it is? It's an insensitivity to the real issue that's going on. It's a diversion. Basically, honestly, it's satanic. Oh my gosh, not that. I'm not talking pitchfork red suit. I'm talking just, it's satanic in its origin, because it emphasizes something that is not the emphasis. It makes a big deal out of something that's not the big deal. That person, you see, my view, your view, and this is why I'm not real argumentative about stuff, because I've found, man, you know what? I want their heart to connect with his heart. I want them to know Jesus more than I want anything else. I just want them to know Jesus, because you know what? Jesus can fix all that other stuff. I can't, but Jesus can fix all that other stuff. Jesus is, remember, the POB. He's the point of beginning. Got to get him to that. There's nothing to resolve prior to, I mean, you got to get that resolved. That's the big deal. That's the big issue. That's the eternal picture. And so it kind of comes into this spot where now there's this diversion. And do you know how lame you sound at the coffee shop as believers? Do you know how ridiculous you sound pontificating about stuff you probably don't know that much about, really? And it's good to swap our views. Be aware, though, brothers and sisters, there's other people listening. Right at the table right next to you can hear what you're saying. I've got to be really careful because I got a voice that just carries. They last night, they said, well, no, we're in a hall area, you know, just like this type of thing. But it was about half this size. And we had good acoustics in there. And so they say, hey, do you need the microphone? I looked at the guy, no. I said, one, it's too hard for me to hold something and then hold something and reason. It's just too difficult for me. I can barely walk and chew gum, much less hold something, talk through something. You know, it's just too much for me, too much activity all at one time. But the idea is I've got a projection voice. God gave that to me, I hope. But I can project clearly. I mean, it just carries. It's one of those kind of things. It's a weirdness thing that happens to me. So I was sitting the other day, and I was talking with one of my sons, and I go, hey, can you hear what I'm saying right now? Yeah, I can hear you perfectly well. I can't even hear myself. I had so many skill saws going off in my ears over the years that I can't, my hearing's gotten bad, a little bit bad too. So this is one of the things is we're establishing, again, you got the baseline out of the way, he's got this platform, he's going into sharing something with them. And he says, you know, you guys, I'm catching wind about something that's been going on at the coffee shop, basically. I'm catching wind about some of the dialogue that's been going on. And you know, it's not really like-minded. It's not really accomplishing what you want it to accomplish. I know you guys, we have ideas and concepts that we want to discuss, and I think those are great things. Just be aware, there's a world around you and me listening into what we're saying, and they want to know, just show me Jesus. Show me Jesus. And I think that would be an emphasis that we want to focus in on. Be of the same mind. So somewhere down the line, you know what? Sometimes somebody's got to pop the humility pill and just suck it up and just say, yeah, you know, I hear what you're saying. Boom, get back to a core something. You know what? We have a lot more things. You guys, we have a lot more things that we agree upon. I guarantee you. And we have got so much out in front of us to do with what we can do that we can agree. I love evangelism and I love missions for that very thing. We can certainly, as Christians, agree that the world around us needs Jesus Christ, needs the hope and the love of Jesus Christ. We can certainly agree that the salvation is needed. And we can certainly agree that God wants to use us to do that. Those are things that are pretty much not questionable in the scripture. Wouldn't it be great if we just focused on those things? I commend you, high fives all around, on that. I commend you that that's your heart through the radio ministry. I had the people that I talked with looked at me and smiled, and some of them aren't even believe. Wow, that's a really neat outreach to the city. That's really awesome to the whole metro area. I thought, yeah, exactly. Isn't that great? That God's heart is in that, and that even people that aren't even believers see it for what it is. Thank you for tuning in today and for listening to the radio program, for listening to God's Word. And I know God has a perfect plan for your life. And it starts, really, by giving our hearts to the Lord. If you've not given your heart to the Lord, or you're just in a place where you have a sense that you're distant from God, and you just want to open your life up to the Lord, you know, the Word says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that great to know that we have a God that's full of grace and mercy, that he's willing to pardon all of our sin, to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness? It's a simple prayer, just to give your life to Jesus. Man, all things become new when we give our lives to the Lord. If you just pray this simple prayer along with me, Jesus, I want to open my heart up to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of my sin, my unrighteousness, that you would pardon me. I thank you so much for that grace and mercy that you've shown me. Lord, thank you for the love that put you on the cross, that you did that willingly for me. And Lord, again, I just open my heart to you. I receive you as my personal Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for that free gift of everlasting life that you've given me. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you.
You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.